We'll next discuss some of the key provisions that come up in negotiations. Given this presentation is only about 30 minutes, we won't have an opportunity to do a deep dive into every provision. That said, we'll try to highlight some of the common themes that pop up. Your materials, however, do contain a bit more detail in some of the provisions we won't have time to discuss today, as well as some provisions that are attached in your appendix. We'll conclude with a few observations we've seen over the last year related to force majeure, namely in response to COVID-19. So with that as an overview, let's look at the next slide discussing key stakeholders. So your slide shows there are two main participants in the negotiation. So you'll have your contractor and you'll have your project company or your system owner. That said, the universe of stakeholders is much larger than that. Your system owner will need to obtain financing, whether that's equity financing or debt financing. The financing parties are keenly focused on what is contained in the EPC agreement and making sure that it's bankable. You'll also have your off-taker, and we'll discuss a lot more in coming slides about the implications of the revenue-generating portions of the contract. The EPC contractor, on the other hand, is also managing its own set of stakeholders. So there will be vendors, suppliers, subcontractors, all of these other parties where they may be attributable to what's in the EPC contractor's realm of control, even though they're third parties and the EPC contractor may not actually be able to exercise control over them. With that, let's go to the next slide, which discusses risk. So risk, its allocation, identification, mitigation is really the bedrock of these agreements. Let's look at your slide. Starting with the first three points, so time, cost, and performance. Owners and financing parties in particular want to make sure the project comes in on budget, on time, and performs at the level that's expected. The key consideration for many of them will be, well, what are factors that are within the contractor's control, and what are other factors that may not necessarily be within the contractor's control? And there are a lot of implications, just as we discussed on the other slide with these other stakeholders. So there could be, if there's a delay, there could be increased financing costs that the system owner may have to bear. There could be damages under the revenue generating agreement, or worse yet, if an extensive delay entitles the off-taker to terminate that agreement altogether, or there could be other costs that are incurred. All of this is factoring into the risk and the risk allocation for a particular project. The next three points, scope, resources, and site conditions, give a little bit more detail on what a contractor is juggling with this risk analysis as it's looking at with these different projects. So for example, site conditions. The first point under here is weather delays. There may be certain weather delays that you anticipate the contractor should have taken into account in developing the schedule. Let's say if they're building one of these projects in the Northeast in the middle of winter, there's a certain amount of snow that falls on the ground and that should have been taken into account in the contractor. That said, there may be other weather instances or disasters that are just beyond the scope of what we anticipate the contractor should have foreseen at the time of execution. That then could justify certain extensions of time or cost under the contract. And that's not part of what the contract is, their risk profile when entering into these agreements. The next two slides have a sample risk matrix. They're really just sample in terms of discussing potential risks and what the impact of those could be on the contractor and the system owner. We won't have time to discuss them in further detail, but you may want to go back and look into your materials on how these factors in practice. Let's start with a roadmap of where we're going today. There are five big categories that we'll be discussing as far as key provisions in these agreements. The first is performance. What do you anticipate the contractor is actually going to do under the contract? The second is failure to perform. Or if the contractor fails to perform, are there certain excuses that are permissible, and are there certain excuses that just aren't? And what are the owner's remedies as a result? The third category is price and payment. So what are the dollars involved and what are the financial considerations each party is bringing to the table as they're looking at price and payment structures in the contract? The fourth we'll talk about are post-completion obligations. So 1, 2, and 3 really come into play prior to substantial completion. Substantial completion being the milestone where care, custody, and control of the facility then transfers to the owner. So what happens after this care, custody, and control transfers to the owner? What are the contractor's obligations? And then we'll conclude with a brief discussion on liabilities and limitations. Starting with performance.